Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
A man was talking to God. He said, God, how long is a million years? God answered, to me, it's about a minute. He said, well, then, if that's true, how much is $1 million? God said, to me, it's a penny. The man said, well, God, may I have a penny? God said, sure, wait a minute. You'll get it at Luby's if you don't get it now, or just listen to the podcast. You got it. You got it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is the last installment of Mind Monsters. You may be seated, and once you're seated, I want you to lay hands on your own head and tell them, Jesus, make my mind right. That's something we should pray every day. I want to think God thoughts. I want to think like God. I want to act like God. And so for us to speak and to act like God and to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we've got to think like Jesus. We've got to have God thoughts. There's so many of us, and we live in a dispensation, a generation of time now where culture talks about self-help a lot. And having willpower and all of those things. And there's a little bit of truth to that, but most of that, when you really get down to it, you and I cannot help ourselves. Our help comes from Jesus. Our help comes from being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because there's sometimes when your day is not going like it should, that if we don't have the Holy Ghost and we don't have a firm foundation of the Word of God, that our mind is going to take a right turn and our body is going to follow. But for those of us that have been saved and walking with Jesus for a very long time, for those of us that are filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, for those of us that have become literal students of the Word of God, when we have those thoughts creep up in our mind that we know are contrary to what God has spoken over us, we can capture that thought and capture what is happening in our mind and tell that monster, you cannot stay. Last session we talked about that our mind is great real estate. Be careful who you lease it to. Not to give people a piece of your mind, because when you give them a piece of your mind, you continually run out. Last session we talked about you decide what you think. Not Fox News, not CNN, you do. We talked about that we control what we allow to stay in our mind. Can I just tell you that you are going to have crazy thoughts? You're going to have crazy dreams. You're going to see her and have a bad thought. You're going to see him and have a bad thought. It's not the fact that those bad thoughts jump in because we are flesh. It's how long do we allow them to stay there? Because when we allow them to stay there is when we begin to meditate on those thoughts. And when we meditate on those thoughts, our body, our focus begins to shift. It's not the fact that David saw Bathsheba. It's that David kept looking at Bathsheba. He allowed that thought to become planted, and that monster became real. We also discussed last session what your mind focuses on, you will become. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's what he becomes. What you think, it changes your confession. What's your confession? You create the world that you want to live in. And we finally talked about what you choose to remember decides what you will receive. I choose in the last 38 years of my life to block out all the things that are already under the blood of Jesus. But I remember every time that God showed up and worked a miracle in my life. Every day of my life when I face the next giant, I remember the Goliaths that God already put on their back in my life. Every time that I'm faced with trouble, I think of the last time God got me out of trouble. And so what I choose to remember, I remember I was a victor then, and guess what? I'll be a victor in the next issue in my life. So when we talk about 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is warning the church, and he says, understand this, we don't walk in the flesh. Have you ever fleshed out? Come on now. Let me ask this guy, have you ever lied? We flesh out. It's part of human nature. We get angry. We get mad. We say things that we wish we could take back. We do things we wish we had never done. When that person cuts us off in traffic, we do unchristian things. When we hear what someone said about us on the third floor of our office building, we do things in retaliation that we should not do. We don't act like Christ. And so Paul is warning us, and he says, we don't walk in the flesh. And there's a lot of us that are surprised when we act in the flesh, but we should not be surprised when we act fleshly, when we continually walk in the flesh. But Paul said there is a greater way to live. And in the year of everybody being offended, in the time that we live in where everybody's getting their feelings hurt, I don't have time to be offended. I don't have time to have my feelings hurt. I don't have time to cry about things that don't matter or I cannot change. Rather than I elevate my life and say, I'm not going to live at the level where everybody else is. That's a fleshly realm. But the day that I said yes to Jesus, God said, come up higher. There's a better way to live. There's a more productive way to live. And like Pastor Becky sings, I'm going high where the devil can't go. There is a place that you can live in and not just exist, but you can live in a place that's greater than your flesh. Some people flesh out. Some people spirit out. To flesh out means that you are a spiritually mature person who had a bad moment. To spirit out means that you are a fleshly person that happened to have a spiritual moment on a Sunday at 11:59 a.m. So there's a lot of us that walk in the flesh, and then when we come into church, we get in the spirit. But our whole goal is to get you in the spirit and have you never leave the spirit. So that when we leave these doors today and we head back to trouble in our homes, trouble on our jobs, we don't fear, we don't get messed up, we don't deal with it like the world deals with it. We say, all right, God, we've got a lot of work to do, but you're on my side, your word is true, my faith is strong, and we're going to change this situation for the good. Though we walk not in the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. I think of people like David that didn't look the part, but when they got anointed, they did extraordinary things. I know Samson in the coloring books in Sunday school is a big, strong guy that looks like a 1980s version of Arnold Schwarzenegger, but the Word of God never says that he was a hulking figure. I believe he was an ordinary-looking man, but when the Holy Ghost got in him and the anointing was on him, he could do extraordinary things. I wouldn't really shout about Samson doing extraordinary things if he looked like a superhero, but the fact that Samson probably looked like most of us in this room, but when he said, you know what, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world, and God, I want you to do something on me and in me, and then he was doing all of these feats of strength. I'm here to tell you, you might not look the part, but guess what? I don't look the part, and most of the people in God's greatest stories didn't look the part, but what they said is, God, if you'll use me, I'll think like you. I'll speak like you. I'll walk like you. I know there's monsters that want to take over my mind, but I'll gladly take on the mind of Christ. And the monsters that try to set up shop in my mind will not stay. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We have to realize the greatest fight that we fight is not one that we can see. If we can't see it, it means we better be prayed up. It means that we better be preparing ourselves because we're fighting an enemy that is unseen with weapons that you can't hold in your hand. Your greatest weapons are your mouth and praise and worship. Your greatest weapons is declaring the word of God. Your greatest weapon is being filled with the Holy Ghost and then unleashing that spirit at any moment of your life. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Understand this, that a thought unchecked in your mind leads you to a stronghold. When we don't deal with bad thoughts, negative thoughts, evil thoughts, lustful thoughts, those thoughts unchecked will turn into strongholds. and those strongholds now that you need counseling about, and the world tells you you need 12 steps to go through, if we would have dealt with it when it was just a thought, it would not have led to the place that every person that is sitting on death row right now because of heinous acts and things that they did, it all started in their mind as a 12 or 14-year-old boy or girl. And because it did not check that thought, that monster began to rule their life and that spirit began to do things in them and make them do things that they cannot do. I was talking with one of our young men last night, and we were talking about it would be a scary thing if most believers saw the demon-possessed people around them every day. I'm talking about if we could put on spiritual goggles and we could see the kind of spirits that people are carrying with them. If you weren't saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't want to leave your house. The barista at your favorite coffee shop. The guy changing your tires. Your cashier at your local grocery store. If you realize, not everybody, but there's a lot of evil out there. And those spirits were because somebody along the way, a monster showed up, and they were not strong enough to resist the devil. And because they didn't resist the devil didn't flee. And the thought stayed, and that thought grew, and it grew roots, and it began to grow up, and then it had branches, and then it produced fruit. And here we are 10 years later, and they're acting crazy, living crazy. All hell is breaking loose. And it was all because someone didn't take a thought and say, no, I'm not going to think that way. I'm not going to let that thought take up residence in my life. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. I love this. Casting down imaginations. Imaginations. No reality, just imagination. Your mind is a very powerful tool. I'm amazed at some of the movies that we're seeing now and some of the books that I've read and thought that this came out of some woman's mind, that this came out. You think of movies like Lord of the Rings and these epic trilogies, and all of that came out of somebody's mind. It's an amazing thing that what their imagination produced. But guess what? That imagination was just a thought until they put that thought on paper. And then they found a producer. And then they found a director. And then they found leading starring roles. And then they found extras. And then they found box office that would promote it. And they did all of this. And then we see a real moving motion picture all out of someone's mind. I said all of that to say this. Some of the craziness. We are living some horror film lives because we did not take that thought into captivity. And we did not take that imagination and say, oh, this is not going somewhere good. It's going to lead me somewhere bad. And the same way, we begin to think on that thought. We begin to hire people. We begin to get directors and producers, and we didn't even know it, but because that thought stayed, it became a reality, all because an imagination was left untamed. Things pop into your mind on Monday, you should say, in the name of Jesus, that's not staying, because that's going to mess up my marriage. In the name of Jesus, that's not staying. That would mess up my kids. In the name of Jesus, that's not staying. That would mess up my money. I am taking every imagination, and your mind starts running, and you got to start praying in the name of Jesus. You got to start praying in the Holy Ghost. What are you doing? I'm having some imagination, some things that are not supposed to be rattling in my head or rattling, and I'm casting down those imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. He takes it all the way back to Lucifer. Anything that tries to exalt itself on an equal plateau or greater than God is cast down every single time. So when we have thoughts, come on now, church, that we do not take responsibility for, and we allow to take up residence in our life, if we don't take those thoughts and cast them down and do away with them, God said, because those thoughts cannot be in an equal place that I am, I cast them down, which means if we have those thoughts, we can't elevate ourselves to the place where God wants us to be, which is why some of us feel like we're lower than we really should be. It's because we haven't got our mind to match the mind of God, and we've got things going on in our spirit that are trying to compete with God, and God is a jealous God. God is not going to compete with anything because he is Lord of all already. He has already won, but when anything tries to get on his level, he knocks him back down. And the problem is, in the process of knocking down the imagination and the thought and the high thing that exalted, in the process, the person holding that thing gets knocked down with it. And then we're looking up saying, man, I thought I was going to be there, but I'm still here. It's because of what's going on here. God said, I can't elevate you if you're thinking like that. I can't bring you to a higher place if you're going to think those kind of thoughts, if you're going to allow those things to stay in your mind, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing in captivity every thought. You see it on a lot of police shows. I watch a lot of cops. I watch a lot of live PD. It's just something, background noise while I'm working at home. And Tyler and I have watched a lot of that. And so they don't arrest some people, but they do put them in cuffs. And what do they tell them? You're not being arrested. You're being detained. Let me tell you what you got to do with every thought. You have to detain every thought in your brain. Every thought that enters your mind when you wake up to when you go to bed, you've got to detain, because you got to say, is this going to lead me to righteousness, or is this going to lead me to unrighteousness? Is this thought going to lead me to prosperity? Is this thought going to lead me to poverty? Is this thought going to lead me to healthy lifestyle? Is this thought going to lead me to a crazy lifestyle? Is this thought going to help my marriage and make it stronger, or is this thought going to tear my marriage up? Is this thought going to lead my children further from to God or further from God? So every thought we have, we detain. We take it captive and we check it out. We vet every thought. Some thoughts are good thoughts, but they're not God thoughts. And good thoughts that are not God thoughts can still be bad thoughts for you. Just because it comes cloaked in good doesn't mean it's God. And so I detain it so I can pray about it. I detain it so I can talk to God about it. And God says, oh, it looks good, but it's not going to taste good. It's going to be bitter in your life. And so I detain every thought. Every thought I take captive, and I pray about it. I think about it. I might get somebody else, a mentor, accountability, to give me advice on that thought. And when I understand that thought is going to lead me towards God, I go ahead and say, all right, I'm going to think on that thing. I'm going to meditate on that thing. I'm going to get the word of God and a promise that goes along with that thought. But some things I detain, I find out they're not good for Brandon. And it says, when you bring those thoughts into captivity, it already tells us what to do. Cast them down. I'm not going to think that thought anymore. And the more that you discard that thought, the less you're going to think that thought. And you're always going to have 100 different thoughts coming through your head, but when you capture them and you detain them and you think and pray on them, and then you say, all right, God, this one's not good, and you throw it away, it's a victory, and it announces to the devil, everything you bring into my mind is not going to stay. Some of it's going to go in this ear and out the other ear, and I'm going to move closer to Jesus in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's talk about these three monsters, the three biggest monsters that most of us will face. Number one is the monster of past. We're dragging our past into our present, which pollutes our future. Everyone in this building is either past conscious or future conscious. We either think about the past all the time, or we think about the future all the time. Come on, you know those people that live in the past. Everything was either terrible or everything was great. Nostalgia can be a very poisonous thing. Y'all remember Al Bundy on Married with Children? Polk High, 4 touchdowns. Don't act like you didn't watch Married with Children. In your mind, the past was greater than it was, which can be an enemy. But for most of us, it's not the greatness of the past that haunts us. It's the monster of past that we are not worthy to stand before God, that we've done things that we are not proud of that now follow us into our future. But the problem is when you give the past a place in your life, what you're really saying is that the blood of Jesus didn't work for me. Because I'm here to tell you, when you said yes to Jesus as a believer, your past is under the blood. I thought I'd get a better amen right there. That's the past that everybody knows about is under the blood. That's the things you did, the thoughts you thought that nobody knew about but God is under the blood. I am here to tell you, I'm not looking at the past. That past tries to creep up. Old feelings try to creep up. Old pains try to creep up. But I'm not going to let my past affect my future. I told you already, I forget those things that are not. Come on. I forget those things that are behind me so I can reach forward. You cannot reach forward continually looking back. And there's a monster of your past that is sitting on your shoulder, and he keeps talking about what you did. He keeps talking about regrets and what you didn't do. But I'm here to tell you, shake that monster off. It's not about what you did. It's about what Jesus did. It's not about all the things that you're trying to cover up. It's that Jesus covered them up 2,000 years ago. They're under the blood, and we've got to act that way. Past conscious people, it changes the way we live now, because we're trying to overcome the past and we're trying to make wrongs right now that we wronged years ago, decades ago, so it changes the way we live now. If past changes the way we live now, it affects our future. The craziest thing that we can do as believers is to allow something that happened in 1999 to affect 2019 and beyond. You've got a lot of living left to do. Get rid of the past baggage in your life and let Jesus take it once and for all and put it under the blood. It's been a long time since I've said this, but a lot of people will come to this altar in just a few moments. And the Bible says, cast all your cares on Jesus. You'll put them on this altar. But when no one sees you about 1:45 this afternoon, you'll sneak back in here and you'll gather all your cares back up and you'll take them right back out the door. Can I encourage you once and for all? Put the past under the blood. It's not who you are today. That's who you used to be. Well, Pastor, I had an abortion 7 years ago. Let me give you good news. That baby is in heaven waiting on you today. But I'm here to tell you, God doesn't hold that against you. If you've asked for forgiveness, it is under the blood of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, no matter what you've done in your past, the blood is enough. It doesn't take something from you. It doesn't take holy water from me. The past is the past, and the church ought to say amen. People that are past conscious, it affects our future. People that are future conscious, it affects what happens tomorrow, because some of us are so far into tomorrow that we're wasting today. And as we waste today, now it begins to affect our tomorrow, and now our tomorrow in reality doesn't match the tomorrow that was in our mind, all because we're so far into 2025 that we're wasting 2019. Let me tell you something. We're here right now, right here. Live this moment to the best of your ability. And come 2025, you're going to be the greatest version of yourself in Jesus' name than you've ever seen. But you've got to get out of the past. You've got to get out of the future. You've got to live right now. Revelation 12:10 says this, that the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. Come on, there it is again, cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Let me tell you something. I love this. God just, and this is a funny way of saying it. God just showed me this while I was studying the last few weeks on this, that the enemy day and night is accusing Brandon. So a lot of the stuff that I'm attributing to the devil is not the devil, because he don't have that kind of time. The devil spends most of his time not messing with me. The devil spends most of his time accusing me. And he accuses me of what? Not of what I haven't done, not of what I will do in the future. He accuses me of everything that happened before this moment in time. He goes day and night, hey, God, you got a minute? Hey, you remember what Brandon did in 1996? I'm just throwing years out there. There's nothing I did in 1996 specifically. Remember what Brandon did? You remember what he said this morning? Remember what he thought yesterday? And God saying, all right, keep him coming, because every time you mention something that Brandon's done, I'm going to meet you with the same response. It's under the blood. I don't remember. The Brandon that you're talking about is not the Brandon that I know. Come on, church. The person that you're accusing, I don't know that person. That doesn't sound like the Chris I know. The Chris I know is a praiser and a worshiper. So this Chris you're talking about from 2008, I don't really remember. That's not the Chris I know. The Chris I know is a preaching machine. The Chris I know is a giver. The Chris I know is a server in the kingdom of God. And so when you understand that the blood of Jesus has covered you and that Satan is really not at your house, he's trying to get to heaven to talk to God, and God is telling him every turn their past is not an issue, it's under the blood, that ought to make you walk with a little more confidence that when the past tries to accuse you, you can tell them the same thing that God tells the adversary. That monster shows up and says, Brandon, remember what you did in 1996? And I just turn around and say, the blood of Jesus is against you, it has covered that thing, and you can accuse me all you want. I don't even remember what I did in 1996. And he brings out his legal pad with every wrong thing I've done, every wrong thing I've said. Oh yeah, I kind of remember that, but let me tell you something. I went to a Christian camp and got saved, and everything changed in my life when I said yes to Jesus. I don't remember. That's BC. That's before Christ. That's not who I am. So past, you can't live here. If you got somebody in your life that continually reminds you of your past, get rid of them. I love what I read on social media the other day. They said the difference between me and you is I unfollow people in real life. I love that. I unfollow people in real life. If you're going to continually bring up who I was and all the mistakes I made, and I can't believe God would use something like you, and are you sure your church knows what you used to be? Because I don't know if they'd let you sing at that church if they knew where you used to spend your Friday and Saturday nights. You need to tell them, listen, the blood of Jesus has covered me. The blood of Jesus is over every accusation, and I don't need this kind of negativity in my life. Get you some better friends. Friend up, level up, and get rid of those monsters, whether they be spiritual or whether you work with them, whether they have the same last name as you. Get rid of anybody that reminds you of your past and get around people that will speak into your future. Number two monster we deal with is doubt or worry. You ever been called or heard somebody called a worry wart? Worry about everything. Worry is a payment on a bill that may never come due. Worry is payment on a bill that may never come due. Most of the things that you and I worry about never come to fruition. I remember talking to Pastor Becky when she was a little girl. They were running all of these scenarios at their schools because they were worried about the state of the world. And they would have all these drills where everybody had to get under their desks. And I think in some cases they literally put foil on their heads. Just craziness. Worried that the United States was going to be wiped off the planet. And here we are 60 years later. And guess what? We're still here. Most of the things we worry about never come to fruition. It's a payment on a bill that may never come due. I heard this many, many years ago. If you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. You can't do both. Worry is indicative. When you tell me, oh, Pastor, I'm so worried. When you tell me that you are worrying, this is what it's indicative of. Someone who doesn't worship. Because you cannot worry and worship at the same time. You cannot pray and worry at the same time. You cannot praise and worry at the same time. But you've got that monster of worry that is creating scenarios in your mind that are not there. And then you begin to think. Remember, we cast down those imaginations, because if we don't cast down the imagination will become reality. And so when worry shows up, listen, if you think and you worry all the time, it is literally faith displaced. And you will worry that imagination.
imagination into reality. What if she does leave me? What if he does walk out on me? What if I lose my job? What if I don't have enough money at the end of the month? Come on, you can keep worrying and you can worry that manifestation into reality, or you can cast down the monster of worry and say, worry, you're not going to set up in my mind. I'm going to worship when I start worrying. I'm going to say, God, you are worthy of all praise. God, I thank you for all that you've done. I'm in a mess right now, but God, you work your best miracles in the middle of big messes. So I'm going to praise you anyhow. I'm going to put some praise on whatever I'm going through. I'm going to spend some time praying because I'm through worrying about everything.
Philippians 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, every situation, the NIV says, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, and the peace of God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. We worry most of all about things we do not comprehend and we do not understand. And God says, don't worry about anything, pray about everything, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You want to get rid of the mind monster of doubt and worry? Pray. Pray. We have three or four different prayer times every week at church. We have corporate prayer once every quarter here at Living Way. But I'm here to tell you, if you came to all of those things, it's not enough. Pray about everything. Pray about parking spots. Pray about health. Pray about presidents. Pray about school. Pray about money. Pray about future. Pray about missions. Pray about your health. Pray about your wealth. Pray for your ex-husband. Pray for your current husband. Pray for your future husband. Not in that order. Not like all three. If not the same person praying those three. Just want to make sure. Pray about everything. Pray over every decision before you make it. Don't make a decision and then try to cover it with prayer. Pray before the decision. I'm worried about what to do with my life. Pray about it. He'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. And then he'll give you that mind of Christ so that you pick the right school. Because when you pick the right school, you're going to meet the right mate. And when you pick the right school and right mate, you're going to get the right vocation. And you're going to make the right amount of money. You're going to end up in the right city at the right time, at the right church, serving at the right church. And all of those things came down to, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, but let me pray about it. Let me get rid of the worry war. And let me tell you something. Don't let your mama's worry about what you're going to do with your life be contagious to you. I know your dad just wants you out the house, but mom's worry can be contagious. Your spouse's worry can be contagious. Strike it down. I said, no, no, we're not going to worry. We're going to pray. Manny and I have gotten terrible, terrible reports about our health, terrible reports about, and I've told you many, many times, and I don't want to go through the whole story again, but I remember when Jaden was almost 4 years old, she couldn't talk, and now she leads worship up here, which is why I get emotional, why I take a video every time she sings, because I just want to put it in the devil's face and say, you tried to keep her quiet, you tried to shut her up, but like we sang today, I will be silent no more. But I remember Manny and I got that terrible, that she needs speech therapy 3 times a week. That they wouldn't let her come to school. They wouldn't, and we were devastated. But let me tell you something. We worried for all of about 6 seconds. Then we snapped out of it. Our God that went to the cross can do this like nothing. And we begin to pray over her. We anointed her. We begin to train her. I'm here to tell you, and I'm not telling you this is what you do, but we didn't send her to one session of speech therapy. I was her therapist every night before she went to bed. She'd lay down after we had our session, and she'd fall asleep, and I'd come in there, and I'd anoint her, and I'd put oil on her, and I'd pray over it. I wasn't worried. And listen, if I ever said she's not developing as fast as I just pray a little more. And when worry would try to show up, I'd worship a little more. That monster is not welcome in your life. And if you pray, worship, and praise, doubt and worry cannot stay. Can't stay. Peter says, cast all your anxiety, all your cares on him, for he cares for you. If you have anxiety, if you have cares that cause you to worry and doubt, and I pull no punches with this next statement, if you have anxiety, it's because you want anxiety. We got quiet.
Because God said, take anxiety and throw it. Cast it. Make sure I didn't hit Bishop. Maybe I should have went this way.
I cast it. I don't want it anywhere near me. But if I got it, it's because I'm.
Have you ever thought that maybe you like it? Have you ever thought that maybe you have it because it's your new normal?
And I'm always going to be like this? And it's going to be fine. I don't know if Pastor Mandy's ever shared it, but she killed the spirit of anxiety in her life as a young lady. Had all kinds of thoughts running through her as a young woman. She killed that spirit. And I see now the most confident Mandy that I've ever seen before. It doesn't mean that those thoughts don't still try to come up, but when they come up, she casts them down. I cast my anxiety, my cares on Jesus. Why? Because he cares for me. It's what he came to the earth to do. Let him do his job. Let him do what brings him glory. And what brings him glory is taking the weights off of this world, taking the weights out of your mind, and living that life. Amen. Praise him if you'll come.
Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
I say this to young people all the time and some of the people that I mentor and hold accountable. You know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Sometimes we look at the bigness of life and the bigness. There's a young man over at Catalyst, and he works a full-time job and goes to school, and he's on two praise teams and all of this stuff. And I told him, I said, hey, man, life is juggling. And you got to learn how to keep everything up in the air. And some days you look like a pro. And then some days you're diving to make sure something doesn't hit. But understand that every day is not going to be bad. And every day is not going to be your best. But understand this, I don't worry about tomorrow. I'm taking care of what I can today, because tomorrow's going to show up this time tomorrow. It'll be here, and then I'll take care of that day. And then I'll string 30 days together, and I've got a month under my belt. And then I'll string 365 days, and I got a year under my belt. I am not worried about tomorrow. It's the, what's going to happen this election? Hey, I'm worried about what's going to happen tonight in the Dallas Cowboys game, y'all. Come on now. Number three, fear. Fear is the biggest giant. I'm closing with this. I heard one of my favorite preachers say the other day, I got a lot of favorites, so you won't know who I'm talking about. I heard one of my favorite preachers the other day say this, and let me tell you something. It's all right to disagree sometimes, but I heard him say this. He said, you can be faithful and fearful at the same time. I said, no, you can't. I've never been fearful and faithful. I either have faith or I have fear. Because fear, and I hear people all the time trying to get cute and say, well, fear is not the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the absence of faith. Faith is the absence of fear. Faith produces what God wants for our lives out of nothing. Fear produces what the adversary wants for our lives out of nothing. You can fear everything into your life, or you can faith everything into your life. You can fear everything out of your life, or you can faith everything out of your life. I am here to tell you that God has not given you the spirit of fear, so don't give it to yourself. And if it shows up, realize it is not a gift from God, and do everything you can to evict that monster out of your life. The apostle Raymond Reddington from The Blacklist said this. Listen, when you're a preacher, when you're spirit-filled, everything preaches to you. I'm binge-watching Blacklist with Tyler. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're laying there watching that. All the lights are off, and Raymond says this. He says, fear is a liar that activates the enemy. I popped up in my chair. I felt the Holy Ghost typed it out of my phone. I said, man, Raymond's preaching more than TBN's preaching right now. Fear, I shouldn't have said TBN, Christian television. Some of it's good. Fear is a liar that activates the enemy. The enemy can do nothing until you operate in fear.
Fear gives the enemy a foothold. So he's waiting for that monster of fear to show up and for you to open the door. And when you open the door, now the enemy has been activated. Now, I don't want to preach about fear. Let's talk about the flip side of that coin, faith. Faith, if fear is a liar, faith is a truth teller. If fear activates the enemy, what does faith do? It activates our God. And so if fear is looking for a foothold and an open door so that it can come into our life and produce every bad thing the enemy wants, then faith opens the door and gives God a foothold to show up and give us every good and perfect gift. And so when the monster of fear shows up in my mind, I take captivity that thought and I say, fear, you cannot stay here. I am a man of faith. This is a house of faith. And when I walk in faith, God shows up and walks with me. When I talk in faith, mountains begin to move, storms cease, cancers flee, addiction is broken, all because I refuse to live in fear. Stand to your feet. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, for perfect love cast out all fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not in perfect love. God is love. So God's perfection in us makes it to where fear can't stay. I've been scared. I've been fearful. I've let fear change my decision making, and those decisions have had consequences in my life. I've learned in the last 38 years not to fear. There's a reason why over 300 times, one for every day of the year, the Bible says, fear not. Fear not. Some of us are dealing with the past today. That monster just keeps roaring. Just keeps roaring. Some of us are dealing with worry. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my marriage. Everybody keeps talking about how good the economy is. I'm worried about my money. It's not good. And then some of us are just fearful. I was talking to a parent the other day. They said, my children are so scared to go to school. They're afraid their school's going to be shot up next. Terrible way to live for a 6, 7, 8-year-old kid. We come against that spirit. Parents, your kids are leaning into you to be strong in the face of adversity, to not bow to fear, to not make a knee-jerk reaction because you're scared. Don't be paralyzed and don't do something crazy. But you got that monster fear and worry and past, and we could have preached angerness and bitterness and all of these other monsters, but these three today, I believe they affect so many believers. If you're dealing with any of those three, if your past has become too much of a burden to bear, if you're worrying in your life and there's things going on and there's things in front of you that cause you to question, man, I wonder if I'm going to be able to make it through this one. I don't know. Or perhaps your fear. You have fear. You're scared of something. I want to open this altar right now for you. And I want you to come stand. And you're going to have brothers and sisters that are going to stand shoulder to shoulder with you. You're going to have people that not only stand with you, you're going to have a believer come stand behind you. And they're going to place their hand on your shoulder. They're going to begin to pray for you. They're going to step around in front of you in just a minute. But the mind monsters in your life want to take up residence so that they can produce fear.